Carol O'Forey, yeah. East Coast Radio.
Gwen Stefani as well and Alicia Keys, all part of 30 minutes of non-stop music on KZN's number one. The name's Carol O'Forey. I'm with you till 1 o'clock today, and we are chatting about you rebuilding, us rebuilding together the South Africa that we know and love. And this is all on the back of what happened last week, where the country was sort of thrown into anarchy, right? With looting and riots and fires and wild, crazy things that have cost this country so much money. And now we're going to be chatting to different businesses throughout the show that have been affected by this and how they are recuperating, how they are, you know, standing after everything that has happened. Now, I'm going to be speaking to Rishi from Tongaat. He recognized some of the looters as his regular customers who had been he had been serving for many, many years. He lives about 80 meters from the shop, so watched it all happen. And they're currently busy, I believe, with business insurance claims, etc. And earlier I told you, you can drop me a voice note and let me know exactly how you've been affected as a small business owner with regards to this. It's really a tumultuous time. But on the line with me right now, I have a man who owned a small shop in Tongaat for 22 years. He's been supplying the community with the basics and has made a plan to always make sure nobody goes hungry. Well, his shop was looted and burned to the ground last week, and there is nothing left of it. Rishi, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
No. Being the circumstances, right?
Yeah, no, it's been a week, so now it's more like sad rather than, you know, angry. And initially, we're like more shocked because in many ways, after the community come to our defense.
Yeah.
Because we were paying attention to what was happening in Tongaat, and under the illusion that it's only the big businesses that were, you know, being affected. So we were like caught off guard in a way.
I think what is alarming is that you say that some of the people you saw taking things and looting. And
yeah, what happened, we have a lot of power problems, and 3 days before the thing, the power was cut off. So we didn't have power for 3 days, and it was hassles getting power back to us.
Mm-hmm.
So for some reason, about 7:30 on Monday, people started gathering, and we can't recognize, we can't see the people. There were just too many. So we all, were in the house, so we're looking through the curtains and that kind of stuff. And then around 7:30 to 8:00, the banging started, and it was like very scary. So we know they're damaging the buildings and the shop. And we're phoning reaction unit, phoning the SAP, and nobody's really helping. Even like relatives are not saying they couldn't get in. So we're like sitting ducks there. So for some reason, the lights started flickering, the street lights. Mm-hmm. We have very bright street lights.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why the lights started flickering. So I went in the corner and I'm trying to look like what's happening to, and my cousin phoned me to say my shop is like getting broken into. So and I was watching, and each time the lights flicker, I could recognize some of the people. So it was that was more shocking. Like I thought maybe like, you know, people out of town or something maybe coming and instigating. But when it was happening, and then hours and hours I was like hiding out and looking and peeping and making sure that they don't come to our house. Because I thought if once they're done with the shop, they might come to the house.
Right.
It was saddening to see that it was people that I know that were looting me. So that was the sad part.
Sure. That is devastating. The damage. Have you assessed how much damage?
Yeah, well, basically, they looted the shop on that day. Mm-hmm. Totally took everything out. But I had a lot of fixed shelves. And my counters are quite heavy because they're like fixed to the ground and that kind of stuff. So the next day, around 7:00, 8:00, my cousin lives next door also. So we went up there to check and thought maybe we can get as much photographs as we can, maybe for insurance purposes. So I took enough pictures of the house, of the shop broken, you know, like, but it was the shelves and the structure and all was still good. And I had two big coke fridges. When I say everything is clear, I mean, they left nothing, nothing. It was literally like cleaned out. So there was nothing to take anymore. So all I did was take photographs. And my gates were so strong, they couldn't break the lock. So I don't know how, what they used. They broke the gate in such a way, but my lock still held for some reason. So that was, I saw two photographs of those things thinking, no, there's still some hope. We don't have stock, but maybe as everything dies off, we can, you know, at least restock and maybe start in a small way again. Because we've been broken into many times and we had held up, not to this degree, but I thought, you know, like insurance, I know, you know, we can still get back on our feet. But for some reason now, I fled the area because I only live with my daughter, my wife, and my mother in my house. And my cousins also said, we just take important stuff from the house and flee in case they come to loot the house. So we started doing that on that whole day. And now I stay with my sister. And then 5 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday, I'm seeing images of my shop burning. And then people are phoning me and saying, hey, there's some people burning the shop down. And they were sending WhatsApp images, so I was watching all that. And that was like really depressing to see. It just go up in flames because that building has been up there from the 70s, from my grandfather's times. And it was like we go ups and downs and then we have like competition, you know, and so it kept getting smaller, but we always maintain that we'll be there for the community. And we always provided the best prices, everything. And even though it's cost effective to buy from us, not even go to the village.
Mm.
So that was the sad part. As the most sad thing is that it wasn't strangers this time. I've been held up many times by strangers, but not community people. So I thought the community will be on our side.
Yeah.
And even in the morning on Monday, the community leader lives across my shop. And I closed my shop for that because all shops were closed. And I was threatened to open. And he told, no hassle, don't have to worry. They're not Zuma supporters. So I had that false sense like, you know, we kind of safe in this area.
Yeah.
But that was my mistake. I should have known better.
I'm so sorry to hear, you know, unpacking this. And
okay.
I think the biggest
There's so many people who went through that. I was more sad for my mom and my daughter because we didn't sleep that night. And my wife and me tried to stay up the whole night taking shifts because we got a gate in front of our house and we were frightened if people come by the gate. So we parked my van in reverse. The minute they started breaking the front gate, we just jump in the van and run because police never showed up. We even have security companies. They never showed up. And it started getting quiet after 2 in the morning. So, so that's all about the experience. It was shocking because we never had that kind of experience. So it was more like a shock.
Absolutely. And I think another thing that you must be feeling is betrayal because, like you say, you've been in that community for years and you thought they would come to your defense.
Yeah, it was the most sad. Yeah, because we know that the people are poor there, and a lot of people work and go to the factories in Truoland. That's not far from where we are. And I wake up at 6:30 in the morning when it's winter and in summer, and make sure that they get all the stuff. And we sell a lot of small things to workers as they go, and they all support me. And they buy in the morning and in the afternoon when they come, because a lot of people just buy for the day. So we got a lot of stuff package where you just get your daily stuff, your sugar, your cigarettes, your Cokes, your energy drinks and everything. So I have them set. And because of COVID, it's very hard to social distance. I had everything kept right in the front and like easy access and keep the 2 meter distance. And we were just trying to stay in business for COVID and this happened. And sad thing is that during COVID, my wife lost her business at Belita Junction at a salon there. We couldn't survive. So we were just trying to stay on our feet, and this happens.
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping that insurance at least gives us something to start, and maybe we can make a plan. Maybe I won't do the same exact thing, but somewhere else, because now I'm at the age where it's not easy to find a job or anything.
Right.
And that was like a sole income kind of thing. Yeah.
Sure, Rishi. I think a lot of people are touched by your story because a lot of us hear that the shops were looted, they were burnt down, but we haven't heard the voices of the people that own these shops, the people that have put their livelihoods, that have run through the family chain of people.
Yeah, I know I'm not the only one. I know millions of people are suffering. So it's hard, but it is like we've always seen on TV, war areas, and we empathize and sympathize, but we always never had this happen to us. We always thought, it never happens to you until this time. It was it happens,
As we wrap up this conversation, Rishi, what do you have to say to other businesses that have suffered the same fate as you?
It'll be hard to just put in words on the spot what to do, but hopefully we can rebuild because you can't paint everybody the same brush. As I said, I know some people are broken, but the next day there were a lot of people that were nice and were sorry that it happened to us, and they were always supportive and bought from me and said, you know what, this was the cleanest store, we always support you, you got the freshest stuff. And they were nice people also, so it's hard to lump everybody. It's not nice to say everybody, but just saddened that I noticed some people, but just to be clear, it's not everybody. And it's just sad that criminal elements, they ruins everything for the rest of the community.
Yeah.
So let's hopefully that we have something to rebuild, and maybe one day things will be better again. Hopefully.
Rishi, thank you so much for chatting to us. I really wish you guys all the best. I hope insurance comes through and whatever you plan to do going forward, be as successful as your previous business. And I'm really sorry for the fate that you've suffered after last week's unrest.
No, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
All right, goodbye. That is Rishi. He owns a store in Tongaat, and his store was not only looted, but razed to the ground. They burnt it to the ground after looting everything. And now he has fled from his home that is not far from the store for his own safety and his family's safety. And now is hoping that insurance will somehow come through for him so that he can start another business that can feed his family. Already his wife has lost the business that she had. And so it's a tight, tight situation for this family.
Carol O'Forey, weekdays 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. East Coast Radio.